Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Metaverse Podcast, episode 29. I am Jero, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up?
And introducing Highway.
Hello.
Welcome to the Metanorn Podcast, Highway. It's your first time, and usually with the new people, we give them a whole podcast, but we'll save that for later. We're going to wait until Sumairi is here. I hope I'm pronouncing that name right. But today we're going to be talking about the spring 2013 anime season. All but one show, Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat, have an episode released, or in some cases two episodes released. And we're going to touch base on every show, but we're not going to talk in full detail about every show. So as we're going to start with the stuff that we want to talk a lot about. And we're going to start with comedy because there are yet to be blogs on Metanorn for first impressions of these two shows. We'll start off with Hadoraku Mao-sama, or the Demon King as a part-time worker. Highway, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I just watched the second episode too.
How about we start off with you for impressions?
It's a really interesting concept. I really like the concept of the show, that it's a fish out of water, but the fish is adapting a lot faster than everyone would imagine. So I have a lot of fun with the show so far. And having the hero show up as well is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a nice little surprise twist at the end there. I'm not...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm not
when
too...
When I saw her... Oh,
sorry.
I was saying, when I saw her walking up on him the last bit, I was like, oh my god, is she the hero? And I was like, yep. And they said it right, point blank, as she's a hero. I was like, oh my god. Mm-hmm. I started laughing at that. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, as for comedies, I'm not too big of a fan of anime comedies, but this show and the next one that we're gonna talk about really stuck well with me in terms of the wittiness of the show and the comedic nature of the show. It's not incredibly slapsticky, which is something I don't really like in anime comedy. And just seeing that opening scene where people that preview these shows, they know, oh, it's going to be a comedy, fish out of water, guys working at a McDonald's. But you see that first segment of the show, and you're thinking, wow, that's actually really well animated by White Fox. And then you get into this scene where it's just a fish out of water, guy working at a McDonald's, and making that funny. And it just, you know, then the first episode was really funny in how you were mentioning how he adapted to living. Like, the guy saved up enough money as a part-timer to buy a washer and a refrigerator. I believe it was a refrigerator. And it was just really, it's just really funny overall, and not, you know, laugh out loud funny, but just it's good progression of humor, which I like.
Yeah. The second episode is more of the hero's side story, like what she's experiencing, and you see a little bit more what they're gonna do with the story. You can kind of see where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see they're gonna probably, obviously, the hero and the demon lord are gonna fall in love probably, yeah, and maybe adapt to being a human, just not worry about their other world.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, I loved how the art was like amazing, epic in the beginning, and then to switch to like straight up what we're usually used to, like slice of life show. Almost in a way, it's reverse Katora song, where Katora song's all dramatic and sad, and it shifts to, you know, comedy and things like that. But this is like epic fighting hero stuff to, you know, slice of life. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and the way that Mao is dealing with it a lot better than his sidekick is is something that really brings humor into the show.
Yeah. We have the best of bromance right now. It is fun to watch.
All right, so let's jump into the next comedy series. Yahori Ore no Seishun Love Come wa Machigateru, or My Rom-Com Snafu. My Rom-Com is a Mess, or something like that. Just it's going to be a trend. There are going to be a lot of long-titled light novels and manga that are going to get anime. I think there's one coming out summer or fall that's even more words than that. Just ridiculous. But this is another comedy that I really enjoyed because of the characters. For people that love Taganai, This is kind of,
I was about to say, yeah.
kind of like another series you can enjoy because it's a club of people that are, what I like about it in comparison to Hagen Ice, that the character types are different. Instead of Kodaka, who is a guy that was feared by everybody, and that's the reason why he didn't really have any friends, Hiki is a person that he got scolded by a relationship, and he's just, you know, never again. And he sees that getting into those kind of relationships are more problematic, which I kind of relate to. But but yeah, I really like a lot of the stuff that he says in the show are funny, and I really like that. And the other two girls that are in the club with him, Yukinoshita and Yuagi Hime, I believe is her name, are really good too. And then they had, in the second episode, they kind of show a Chunibyo thing, which is going to become more of a trend. You're going to, you know, especially with Chutikoi, you're going to see a lot of 8th grade syndrome stuff, and you go, oh, Chutikoi, although maybe we've seen that a lot more before than we probably think. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I think we just never had that name for it.
Yeah.
Right.
And now we're all Chunibyo, right?
Yeah, yep. Pretty much. Yeah, we're all like that when, like, growing up watching Dragon Ball Z. I think we were all like that. Like, you know, the days you want to be like a Super Saiyan when you're like a, you know, going to high school or whatever. Just thing like that. But yeah, like you said, this show is like very, very Haganine in certain ways. That these two are helping people, but not realizing they're helping each other. Something like that's going to be something cheesy.
Well, I think they've also set up a nice rivalry between the two of them so far. I haven't seen the second episode yet, but in the first episode, it was very rivalrous, but they were not mean spirited.
Yeah,
as much.
Almost like they're testing each other's boundaries.
Yeah, it's really what it is. They're just testing each other out. They're trying to get the upper hand, but also not look like a complete jerk about it.
Right.
I'll just watch that show just because it's got Hayami Sayori in it, and I'd watch anything she does. But
yeah, it's a good production too by Brainspace. I like the visual style. And compared to Hagen, I think Brainspace is producing a better type of that show, although they're different shows.
Yeah, but Brainspace is a great studio.
Not produced by Brainspace, but by Sunrise is the next show that we're going to be talking about. Valve Rave. Valve Rave, the Liberator. Fosh, you're a mecha guy. What'd you think of this episode?
Oh, I was just like, I wasn't really expecting much from this series, because when I saw, I tried my best to stay away from every trailer I've seen. I was like, I'm not going to watch any trailers. I'm going in this fresh, not knowing anything. And from my perspective, it's pretty cool. The production value is nice. The CGI is just wonderful. For like mech series, this is more mech than anything that's been out really recently, besides another show we'll talk about. But right now, the story is typical Gundam. You have five people that want to steal a weapon from this colony. So they go in there, sneak in, you know, kind of blend in with everyone. And obviously they fail, and the main hero gets the robot. So it's, in a way, it's very Gundam, almost Gundam Seed-ish, because the people that attack them, they all kind of fit the same. They have white hair, and you can tell they're not very good. You know, you first see them, you're like, okay, these guys are evil. But the big surprise was, I mean, certain characters you would not expect to get killed off, and they do kill some people off in the first episode. So that was the big surprise for me. I was just like, this is kind of different. But also at the same time, they did another thing at the end with the main hero. And yeah, I'm wondering what they're doing with this whole thing. That I don't want to spoil it. So,
I say go ahead and spoil. You know, spoiler alert right here. For
that's
Valbrave.
True. Well, at the end, when he after he saves everyone, I guess his girlfriend kind of died. He was going to confess to her. And she dies trying to save someone. And
Before you go on, that was a really weird scene that episode, because it was like it looked like she got nervous, and I was thinking, is there something else that's affecting her?
Right.
And
I was wondering it too.
It just didn't make sense, and then she's like, okay, I'm ready. It was almost like she was getting her body ready for the confession.
Right, like she knew. I think part of me feels that she almost knew he was going to say something.
Oh, she definitely knew.
Yeah, because she was, like, blushing her way before.
Yeah.
And well, I don't know. The end for me was kind of weird. You had the one of the villains kind of walk up to him after the hero kind of saves everyone, and he just stabs him in the heart and shoots him. He's laying on the ground and shoots, like, unloads a couple rounds into him. And the evil dude is about to steal the robot, and then the main hero stands up and bites the guy in the neck like a vampire. His eyes were like glowing or anything. I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I thought that was a real shock too. I was like,
Yeah, I was like,
"Bitch," because I was expecting him to just go ahead and kill the guy off. I mean, because he
yeah, I was
already
like,
killed off his love
eh.
interest.
If they killed him off, I'd be like, and then the white haired guy becomes the hero, but oh my god, that'd be kind of cool. But
Yeah, that would be. Although the you know what they did with the ending was really cool, especially when you saw that moment when he resigned as being a human, so now he's something other than human, vampire-esque, we could say, with biting people. But
That's what I think they're going for. He's not human, like you said, yeah, not anymore.
But until that point, it followed the Gundam first
Yeah,
episode
definitely.
structure to a T until the ending and then the end credits. And normally, and I'm usually don't stay for those end credits and previews, so you know that's one that I was glad that I stuck around for, because that is a big twist, and a lot of people do seem to be liking it so far. I don't know if I'll be keeping up with it on a weekly basis, just because I have so many other shows that I'm watching this season, but for Mecha, it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, and the reason why I said Seed earlier is because it's TM Revolution. They're doing the opening, I think. And they've always done Gundam for me. Well, mostly yeah, all Gundam Seed and Destiny, I think they did all the music for the openings. But yeah, I'm surprised what the ending. I'm guessing it's going to be. I was trying to guess why does he bite people? Is it a way to obtain skills? Maybe he bites certain pilots and he gets their abilities of piloting, because as soon as he pushed a button to become not a human anymore, the robot like injects him with something and he just becomes this badass. He like just three shots these robots and like nothing. I'm like, okay, he doesn't like he would be a kid that knows how to pilot, but you know, I guess it's maybe a little bit like Gundam Unicorn, you know, that's kind of the same thing. So
And I wonder, just thinking about Code Geass, if it gives him a Lelouch level of personality, if because he has this power now, there's sort of this newfound sort of badass kind of attitude to him with
Right, like
this,
maybe you can switch it on and off.
which the Valve Rave power or whatever it precisely it's called. So moving on to Aku no Hana, which has a second episode out. This is one that, for me, it was almost kind of make or break in terms of keeping up with the show, and I can happily say that episode two did just what I wanted for it to keep, for me to keep watching it every week until the end, because I thought the suspense was much better in this episode. It was handled much better. The progression of it was much better. And now with Nakamura being more involved with what Kasuga is doing, it makes it that much more interesting. And in the first episode post on Metanorn, a lot of talk was about the rotoscope animation, and either you're one of those people that really didn't like it, or it's because it's different, it's good, like those people. Or because it's confusing, it must be great, you know, those kind of people. But Highway, what'd you think of Aku no Hana?
I liked the first episode. I thought it was a real different look. I didn't mind the pacing of it. I didn't mind that it was kind of like, well, not really a lot going on. I thought that did a real good job setting a mood for the show. And I actually thought the rotoscoping of the people was really effective. I commented that it was that the motion of the people in the show was seemed far more realistic than we usually get in anime, especially that kind of shambling, shuffling along that teenage kids do. And I just really liked that look. I could see where it could get a little old if that's all the show's going to do, but from what you're saying, that's not all it's going to do. So I'll be interested. I haven't seen the second one yet, so be looking for that.
Yeah, the only thing I would say on this show is most people should probably go into looking at it as maybe not anime, look at it as more live action. That's the way I'm going into it. I'm not going to look at it as anime anymore. Even though it is, you know, we are used to watching anime, this is something different. And I have to give them a hand that at least they're trying something new. But at the same time, it's also a little jarring. You're like, not sure if you want to stick around with something like that. But I'll get, I mean, once you get used to it, maybe. I just thought that some of the face expressions got a little weird. But so that's just...
And I've heard that the director of the series knew coming in this was going to be an issue that some people would not like and some would like. And the live action thing is a very good point because that's how I watched episode two. I looked at it as live action because I'd seen some Japanese dramas before, so I came into it looking at it that way, and even some of the scenic stuff that they do in episode two, like there's a moment where Kasuga is sitting in his desk and the scene kind of turns black around him, and that seems like a really cool thing. So yeah,
that's true.
So Akunohana episode two, pretty good for me, and I think Aiwei will be interested in it too. Attack on Titan is a show that if I didn't know anything about the people making it, I would have thought it would be a madhouse show. It just has that look. It looks like series they've done in the past, but it's by Wit Studio, which is a extension of Production IG. This is one of those that has been just super hyped for the season.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody seems to be loving the first episode and glad that there's going to be two core for the series.
Yeah, I was going to say, one thing about it, I mean, it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. The blood and everything. I'm like, oh my God, this is so pretty. You know, everyone's getting killed, but it looks fantastic. That's what I'm like when I'm watching this show. I'm just like, but like you said, if you didn't know anything about it going in, because a certain director I don't really like is doing this show, and certain voice actors are in it that I just cannot stand. You know, Yuki Kaji as Eren, I'm like, oh, I gotta see the 25 episodes of him again. I don't want this, but I'm willing to look over that. I mean, I don't really like him as an actor, but in this role, maybe he'll do something better. I don't know. Who knows? But for me, I use the comparison of it's Walking Dead, basically. You have these people that are just trying to survive, and Attack on Titans is like the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to survive the giant apocalypse, so that's how I feel the show's for.
Yeah, I think it's about... I thought the first episode was really good. There were some really visually jarring elements. The Titans themselves... Mm-hmm. Not the huge one. I mean, I can understand how monstrous that guy is with like, no skin, but the other ones with those big grins with like 60 teeth in their mouth and like the wavy hair, like the hair that looked like they just washed it. But then you look at them and they just look like, lobotomized morons. Or something. Mm-hmm. It's like there's nothing going on there except I'm gonna kill you and eat you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not even in a smart way. That's what they're going for, I think, almost.
Yeah.
Without how they have no skin or anything. Yeah. And
break off a piece of that human bar.
Yeah.
I was thinking in that scene when Eren was watching his mom be eaten, you should probably turn away. Because you know she's going to die, but you probably don't want that in your head. You don't want those nightmares. But I guess when you're in that level of shock, you just can't believe it. And, you know, you're just kind of frozen there. But I thought the first episode did a really great job at building sort of the horror of it. Like being cooped up in this, in what they kept saying was like a cage in these walls. And then, you know, the Titans just coming in and... You know, they all look like weird naked dudes, as Highway kind of alluded to. I'm really looking forward to the show. This is definitely one of the season's best.
I share one of my stories on Twitter. It was funny. When the giant's picking up his mom, the people on Twitter are like, "Oh, he's helping her," and I just started laughing at that point. They're talking about that. But yeah, go ahead, Howie. Sorry.
No, it's one of those shows that just. The hopelessness of the humans inside the thing. It's like they had convinced themselves, oh, we're fine. And they've got nothing against these giants. I almost don't know what they're gonna do, because like the recon corps that came back, mm-hmm. and they came mm-hmm. back decimated with yeah. no success at all, and now these giants are inside their town, they get nothing. So yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see what they can even do.
Yeah, from what I've heard, the giants get even more freakier later on. There are giants that have hair all over them. They're like basically a Yeti almost. And there are even ones that might have armor or something. So they're going to do some things here soon, I think, is what I've been told. It's going to get really interesting.
And let's talk about next show, Railgun S, Season 2 of Railgun. I know, Fosh, you're excited for this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was watching Season 1, like, a couple weeks ago, just, you know, kind of refreshed myself, getting caught up on, like, things yeah. that I might have missed. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, it's following the manga right now. It's going like the first episode is basically the manga, one of the manga chapters. You get to meet another level 5. She's named Misaki. It's weird. They're all these people have almost similar names.
Yeah, Shohako.
Yeah, she's really cool. I'm talking about the blonde girl with the long gloves. She's kind of interesting. They do things with her later on.
Was she in season 1, any?
No, she was not.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering. Like, I thought I hadn't seen her before.
Yep, she's one of 7 level 5s. So this season is going to actually show you all the 7 level 5s, I think. So they show, like you said, before pre-recording, the ending video, which I think is the opening, that mm-hmm. shows off all the level 5s. So all the epic fights that Misaka's going to be doing this season, almost they show little hints of them in the opening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was really cool, because in the opening, they make it a point to show Toma in there, and also mm-hmm. Accelerator, who are, you know, the big index players.
Oh, right. And that's what they're... This will be more about Misaka and her sisters for the first mm-hmm. beginning. Which kind of bleeds into... If you watch Index Season 2, you know, when you have the special, like, games they had, that takes place in the Railgun story.
Okay.
So those kind of intertwine each other. Mm-hmm. You get to see from Misaka's perspective. Like, what was she doing during... When Tone was doing all that he was doing. So you get to see all this.
Mm-hmm. Getting into the second season of Railgun, like, the stuff from the first season that I didn't really like was that there's nothing at stake. It's just kind of them doing things. Like, in this episode, they met a girl in the hospital, and Beardy Beardy was obsessing over a gift to get her and how to present the gift. Like, that stuff I didn't really enjoy in season one. I found myself kind of skipping for those segments, because I was able to marathon instead of watching weekly, like what I'm going to do with Railgun S here. But as you know, what you're saying about the level 5 sounds really cool, and seeing how they're adapting this and how the previews state that it focuses on the little sister's arc, that sounds pretty interesting to me, and how everybody comes together. Like, they even showed Toma at the end of episode 1 and go, man, this city's never boring.
Yeah, he's just like another regular day for him, because all the misfortune that he has to go through. But yeah, the level 5s are going to be showing more of them, and Misaka's going to get her time to do. That's kind of what I wanted in season 1 as well. I wanted more fighting. Like you said, the slice of life stuff does get in the way. And even the Kiriko ex Misaka thing, when she just goes mm-hmm. full on Yuri, which, you know, basically gets a Yuri hard on and goes straight for Misaka. That's what she does every single time. It does go get a little annoying, but yeah, I love Kiriko's voice actress.
Onisama.
Yes,
that's actually what I really liked about Railgun. I just watched it for the first time right before the season, and I hadn't watched it because it was related to Index, and I really didn't like Index. I watched all the way through the first season, and it was a chore. And I mean, When you've basically shuffled off the title character of your anime halfway through a 2-core season, it means everyone found her annoying.
Yep.
Nobody liked Index, as far as I can tell.
No.
And so I was afraid that Railgun was like that, and it wasn't. And I really liked the slice of life part, so I kind of hope they keep a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, they will. I mean, I think this is going to be 2-core. So with season 1, they had a lot of, like, first episodes are just one shots here and there, just of the girls doing everyday life. And the biggest thing with season 1 I like was Satin. She has, you know, nobility, no power, but yet she's still one of the best characters in the series. Even compared to, like, Yuharu, who doesn't do nothing. I like Satin
yeah,
better.
That's true. Yeah. And I love it when they give Satin stuff to do. Like, in this first episode, she catches a girl falling while hanging on a ladder. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Damn,
she is pretty badass when she wants to be.
Yeah, I love Satin so much.
And, like that, like, she has no powers, and yet she's still doing all these dangerous crap like that. Like, you know, risking her own life to save someone. I was like, ah, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk in brief about Suisei no Gargantia. Fosh and I are doing mini talks in this, so that's why we're going to talk in brief about it. We'll let Highway have the floor here for a moment to talk about his thoughts on Gargantia.
Well, I've only seen the first episode of this one as well. I haven't gotten to that second one that people said is out. But I like the first episode. I kind of thought that the first part of it with all that real dense battle stuff, I don't know. To me, that seems like it's really just kind of pushed off to the side. I think it's a lot of, I didn't think it was that important. It might turn out to be real important, but I think it was more just to show how different Red's world is from the world he's in now. I think that's the main part of that whole bit at the beginning, and getting into the part, the second half of the show, is what we're really going to see. I'm real interested in where the show's going. I thought they did a good job with the escape part, although I'm never a big fan of taking hostages.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he tried to justify it.
Yeah.
But that I thought that worked out real well, and excited to see the next episode.
You wouldn't expect Amy to be such a foul mouth.
Little girl. All
right, let's talk about Carnival next. Carnival is a show similar to Akunohana for me, in that seeing episode 2 was going to be a big deal toward whether I would watch on or not. And while I liked episode 2, I thought the action in the end sequence of episode 2 was really bad. It was stupid. But the overall show and the introduction of the new characters made it interesting enough for me to give it another. I don't want to say I'm going to watch all 13 episodes or say I'm going to drop it next week, but it's a show that I'm mildly interested in.
If I can describe this in 3 words, like, odd, shiny, and very monstrous. Like, the girl in the first episode, I was like, what the hell? Your arms started growing like she's a spider monster. Like, oh, this is so, I don't know. Go ahead, Abby. Sorry.
Well, it's a show that I'm not, it's not really a usual type of show that I'd watch. And actually, when I was watching the first episode, thought, this is a lot like Arcana Familia. and we know where that went. I actually watched that all the way through. I can't believe it would have as bad a plot as that. But just the feel I got from it, I mean, maybe it's just guys in hats just make me think that. But it, I don't know, it seemed kind of too much secret society and plots within plots. So
I was gonna say, well, you want to show a good with characters with good hats, watch JoJo. That's way better than this. That's got some good hats.
and if anybody dropped this show or hates this show because Nye is an awful lead, I have no arguments against that. He really is. He is the weak link, but somehow for me not weak enough to drop the show. I still like it.
Yeah, I'd agree he's the weak link as well. And I don't know, he just was getting really annoying with mentioning, who was it, Karuko, the whole time.
Yeah. Yep.
The secret bad guy character. Devil Survivor 2 is our next show. Pretty much a by-the-books episode 2. Another situation where you get introduced to the organization, you try to resist, but then you just have to fight for your life again, and you go, okay, now we're going to work with the organization.
Yeah, I think it fits almost, I think, since it's a video game adaptation.
Yeah.
It's very Persona 4. I was going to that view of, like, okay, this is going to be, you know, guys summon monsters, save the world type scenario. And but I was surprised that it's more than just the main heroes know about the monster. So, yeah. In a way, it's Persona, but extra. You know, you get the organization, like you said.
Yeah, first they wanted to have just the main guy know, but then by the end it's like, okay, everybody knows.
That's what I like about it, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the first episode was a lot different from, well, I didn't know what I was expecting. So it was something that struck me as different from what I was expecting, and that was good because I figured I wouldn't like what I was expecting.
All right, Crime Edge. Dansai Bunri, no Crime Edge haircutting show.
This is a real, I'm really liking the atmosphere of this, even though it's a lot darker than what I usually go for. This is one I have watched the second episode of, and it just has it's a really weird feel to it, and a lot darker and edgier than I'm used to. But they've set up, I don't know if you guys have seen the second one, but they've set up like this whole big, almost a game throughout the whole rest of the series. And it'll be real interesting to see where that goes.
Sounds like it might be almost on the lines of like Maroniki, where you have like this game that's playing in the background, you know, this people versus people thing, or a Batoon maybe. Yeah, for me, I think the idea of the killing goods, I think that is really cool. I was like, to have items for your ancestors that are part of like, you know, history and anything, even if it's like, you know, killing people, murders and stuff. Like the main kid's scissors, I was watching, isn't there a giant Depp movie like this, like about that? And I guess sure enough, it is almost the same story, but his weapon.
So it's kind of like Edward Scissorhands?
No, the other one, the musical one. Oh. Edward Scissorhands would fit, you know. And I think episode 2, I've only seen screenshots. It's like, they have like a little bit, I guess, cute moments with the main girl. So it's kind of weird, you know. I'm going to watch more of this.
Yeah, they do a real good job in the second episode of having the cuteness, but then really significant art shifts and and mood shifts that play off each other really well. They handled the seriousness of like the killing goods and the game that gets introduced, as well as the friendship between EY and Kiri.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to another show, more mecha with Majestic Prince.
Or as I call it, Gundam Seed Season 3.
Yeah, that one's a lot.
Yeah.
In different ways, a lot like Gundam Seed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the biggest thing that gets me on this is, you know, some of the CGI is pretty cool. I mean, I do like the robot designs. And I kind of like how each mech has a certain job. You know, you have like your reconnaissance robot, your sniper, your up tank, you know, melee kind of character. So each of the robots serve a purpose. But in the end, the characters themselves are just straight up dumb. All of them are stupid. I just can't stand any of them. Maybe the other girl, the big busty girl, she's okay. But it's the same voice actor who played Index and Hibari from Senran Kagura. So it's like, oh, her again.
Yeah.
And she's just as dumb as Hibari. Yeah. So, you know, she's there for two things, ass shots and you know, boob shots. Yeah. All she's there for.
And her, I guess her brain isn't certainly as big as her boobs.
Yeah, her brain is like freaking tiny.
I mean, man, those things are ginormous.
Have you seen the mechanic chick that's working on the red guy's robot?
Mm-mm.
She's like coming out of her like jumpsuit.
Oh,
she can't even zip her. Yeah, she can't zip her top up at all.
That was Miyuki Sawashiro is in a lot of shows this season, and this is one of those where I was kind of surprised, like, oh wow, she's in there and she's playing that character. Kind of unusual.
She's playing a character.
Military. Yeah, she's playing a military person. Well, she's in charge of these five people.
My problem with Miyuki Sawashiro is that she plays Miyuki Sawashiro in everything. That kind of took me out of Devil Survivor 2.
It did.
That, hey, it's Hakaze and every other character she plays. Hakaze
and Kurapika and all those people. Like, she has, there's a lot of, I think she is a good voice actress, and she has a lot of good characters that she plays, but I think there's a certain type where she can excel the most and kind of over-the-top crazy characters. I remember her role in Kamisama Dolls that I really liked a lot. Something like that would be good.
Yeah, I feel the same with the chick from Railgun Kiriko. She's the same. The minute you hear her voice, you know it's her. You automatically know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Same with like Kaji's the same way. Tomozaku Shugeta, he's the same way. So yeah, like that. But with more of the MJPs, I don't know. They have these designs from Gundam Seed, which are fine. I have no problem with them. But when they go all goofy comedy face, I just can't stand it. It's like, why are they doing this? But this is a series I probably won't be dropping. I'll probably be watching it because I am a little bit interested in it. But yeah, at the same time, I kind of don't like it. It's not my favorite.
So are you not going to blog it this season?
I blog the first episode. I'm probably not going to stick with it for a blog. I'm
Okay,
probably going to
yeah.
stick with the other mech show.
Yeah, you got a lot to do this season.
Yep.
Photo Kano would be my guilty pleasure show of the season.
Oh, don't be guilty about it.
Yeah, I just love all those girls.
Yeah,
I care so much for him.
Yeah. I want to take their picture
Me
2 minutes later.
too.
Highway.
Well, I think the show's setting up really well. It is from Enterbrain's property with the same people who did Amagami and Kimmy Kiss, and just the but they've again, they're doing this a little different. That it seems like the same kind of setup with the girls that Amagami has, where it's not really a big harem. It's just a bunch of girls that could end up interested in our Kazuya, our main character, and they're not really fighting against each other. But he's just making friends with all of them.
And it's kind of different in this series in comparison to like Amagami, because the arc, they had different arcs and they all restarted, but you still had people that knew each other. Like, for example, Nai and Mia knew each other. There weren't too many relationships in terms of the students in those series, and that's kind of what's going on here. Like, you see Sanehara has sort of a jealousy toward Nimi because Nimi's popular, and that's how high school girls are. They get jealous at popularity. But I like what they did with the student council president. I like that they had him sort of blackmail her with
That was
photos.
funny.
That was
Yep.
funny.
Yeah, I thought that was good too. I do think they're kind of setting up Nimi as like the main character for the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Especially with that photo shoot in the
Oh
second
my God,
episode.
yeah. I was just like, this is wow, you're basically, doing a sexual scene right now without even realizing it.
Yeah. Well,
So.
and she even almost confessed to him. She's like, I want you to look at me.
Yeah, they take my picture. I'm like, because a bunch of people were getting kind of mad. I saw on Twitter, they're just like, oh my God, he's gonna be a big perverted guy. But then someone's like, no, the girls are asking for their picture to be taken. They're asking for it. If
Yeah, they're
anyone's
asking
asking
for
for it, yeah.
it. Unlike the skeevy
Yeah.
Shishinbu, those guys
I'm
are.
like, Agami SS guy who's got all these weird fetishes with like kneecaps and whatever, all this crap.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah, I remember
so,
that.
you got someone that's kind of somewhat decent. I mean, it's not his fault the girls asked for the picture to be taken. But at the same time, I'm mad at the main guy for picking the wrong club. I'm like, why'd you pick that club, stupid? You're gonna get in so much trouble with your friend.
Yeah, and he's quickly realizing this kind of has its drawbacks.
He's like, I kind of screwed up. Oops. But the only girl I like so far is like the gymnast girl, because Hasaka Kanamoto, obviously my favorite voice actor. She's the gymnast girl and the softball chick. I
Yeah, I
kind of
do
like the
too.
sporty girls in anime. I
Yeah,
think I like them
sporty
more.
girls are good.
See, I like
Yeah.
all the other girls. I like Misumi, who was the one crying in the classroom. And
Yeah.
I do like Nimi and Seito Kaicho.
Yeah. I was disappointed at the girl crying in the classroom. I thought they're going for a Yuri relationship. Like she was interested in the other girl for other reasons, but they're
Yeah,
going a different route. I was like,
God,
oh man.
why can't you write for that show, Fosh? That
Yeah,
sounds so
no.
much better.
I was like, that would have
It
been so much
does.
better. You would have these two rivals going with the same girl, kind of like Tamako Market. But I was like, oh God.
And
Oh
then
well.
there's the girl we haven't even met. The only the girl all we've seen is her dropping the oranges on
All
the floor.
right. That girl is. Yeah, she's funny. She reminds me of the girl that likes to eat all the food on Agami. She's just, not all there.
Rihoko,
Yeah, she's not all there. Yeah.
So let's move on to Ore no Emoto season 2. more adventures with little sister.
That's a good continuation of the first series. Pretty much directly into the second series, right after the True End, which I liked. I liked the True End a lot better than the Good End that they tacked on to the TV series. So we should get a lot of development with basically all the girls, as far as I know, just with Kuren Echo, mm-hmm. with Manami, even with Ayase, and we'll see what Kirino's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It almost seems like with season two, the development between Kyosuke and Kirino is kind of restarting after season one, because I guess she went to America for a while and suddenly all of the development that they had is lost. But the other stuff with Kuren Echo, as you mentioned, is if I were to watch it, that would be the bigger interest. But with so many shows and with I had lost interest in the time that Orinoimoto was away, so I don't think I'll be continuing.
Yeah, for me, it hasn't been that long since I haven't been watching anime that long.
Because it's pretty new, yeah. Fosh?
Yeah, I don't know. This show's okay. For me, with I like Kuren Echo. She's probably the reason why I'm watching. And the other girls, they're more likable. But for me, the main guy and his sister, Kirino, I'm just like, you know, it's not much. Why put up with all that hassle of trying to get her to be your friend? Just for she can just, you know, be a bitch to you all the time. I just can't. I can't understand why he's so obsessed with this. Like, just leave her alone, you know? Just let her be. It's like he's just aggravating mm-hmm. her even more every time he gets in her face. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she kind of puts it on him, but she kind of, like, acts like she doesn't care for him. But, you know, I know she likes him and cares for her brother, mm-hmm. but it's like, she shows it in a funny way. You know? Yeah. Like, this is not...
It's almost like he won't admit it, but he wants her approval.
Right, yeah. He mm-hmm. wants her to be in his life, but at the same time, he doesn't want to get involved with her otaku stuff, but
yeah.
I don't know. It just seems weird. It's like, me personally, if I was in his shoes, I wouldn't put up with that kind of crap. I mean, if I had a sister, or I have a sister now, and she's, I won't say much, but it's just, it gets aggravating when he's like that. It's like, mm-hmm. why put up with all this crap? You know, you have to go through all this.
Yeah.
To be your friend, it's not worth it.
Right, and let's talk about some quick thoughts for what would be the remaining shows. Foss, you blogged the first episode of Data Live.
Yeah, and I was going to say, another little sister show. And Karina's in this as well. She's playing the main girl in this, in Data Live. And the sister, she's kind of weird. In the beginning, she's this cute, lovable sister at the beginning. And then halfway to the middle part, she switches to this bossy military girl because she's the leader of this group. And for me, it's like a harem series plus Infinite Stratos. It's kind of Index in the end if you add it all together. You got one guy, he's going to just be dating all these girls from another world, and in the end, it's going to be a harem series. Mm-hmm. Not really action, so.
Date girls or the world's destroyed.
Pretty much.
Zettai Bowie Leviathan Highway.
I thought this first episode was really cute. It's not a show that's really moving that fast, but it's got some good voice actresses. Again, Hayami Sayori and I think Hanakana's in it.
Yep.
And it is the fairy named Syrup, which is hilarious. And she basically is just telling guys, like, telling the truth. You're a jerk and stuff like that. But It seems like an interesting show, and it made me laugh a lot more than I thought it would. Just because it's simple and just a story where they're just going to do these things and try and protect their world.
The only thing I'll say about that is Hana's all on that series. She's the biggest troll ever. She messes everything up.
I thought it was stupid.
Yeah. It was kind of dumb, I'll be honest.
I'm not going to defend it against that. I just think it was amusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, Mushibugyo. Decent animation, but pretty piss poor first episode. Maybe if you're a kid who likes that shonen stuff, it's probably more for kids. And apparently the manga was butchered really bad. Random Curiosity still, it's, you know, those guys usually try to lean positive in their blogs, but even he was like, man, this is bad, this is stupid, dropped. So, yeah.
One thing I'll say about that, the bugs are pretty freaky. Spiders, like, oh my god, giant spiders. And then the artwork, I do like the artwork. Those are the only things I like about it. But someone told me it gets even freakier, like that you have ticks later on. I'm like, oh Jesus, I'm not sure I'm gonna watch any more of this. I don't do good with bugs.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no.
Go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
No, I don't mind the bugs so much. It is so shonen though. It's like
It really is.
A lot of screaming, but it's a big surprise. It's random fan service. I'm like, yeah, it's weird.
That was kind of surprising, yeah.
And when the spider's leaking all over, I'm like, oh my god, this just looks so suggestive.
Yeah, you're creating some early bukkake looking situations, which is awkward. Arata Kangatari, speaking of bad manga adaptations, apparently this is when it also isn't being adapted properly well enough and just isn't interesting well enough for me. I thought the animation was actually pretty subpar, and I thought the story wasn't that engaged. I wasn't keeping my attention at the screen. I thought it was a pretty boring first episode, and probably will be boring the rest of the way. The Mermaid Show,
Oh god, this is fun.
surprisingly funny.
It
I
was
love this one.
surprisingly funny.
It's only 13 minutes and it's hilarious. I've been telling people before, it feels like a side story ripped out of like Akamusume. Like it would be like they went to high school together or some crap, or middle school, be more accurate than anything. But yeah, it's like it's really weird and crazy. I like it.
Yeah, with the talking starfish and the
Oh god, that
talking
was funny.
jellyfish.
When she was like throwing the jellyfish in the air, it was like making noises.
Hey, you do look like a shuriken.
That one's funny. Yeah, laying on the ground, they're like, "This is your fault." Like looking at each other, laughing at each other. And then the beginning when she's like, "Eat," she's looking at the fishing lure, and she's like, "What's that?" And he's like, explains it, and she bites it. I'm like, "You idiot!"
Like, I told her it was a hook, and then she goes,
Yeah.
"I knew it was a hook." Like, I just like that, and I like that that show is 12 minutes as opposed to the next shows that we're going to be talking about, which is Sparrow's Hotel, which is a 4-minute anime. I'm not a fan of the 4 minutes, especially the comedy series, because it's too fast to enjoy the comedy, and it's usually not funny for me.
Yeah, I didn't watch that yet. Look kind of eh.
I thought Sparrow's Hotel didn't work bad as a 4 minute. It's something that you get really tired of. There's not a lot of jokes there in the concept. So I think it's probably good that it's a 4 minute one. But just seeing the main character kind of beat guys up and then like be all friendly.
She's a ditz that can kick ass, is basically what she is. Iora Highway.
This was actually a lot slower moving than I
Oh,
thought.
yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Yama no Susume from last season, and it seems like it's going to be the same kind of thing where there's more of a long progression through the story, even though it's the 3-minute episodes.
Yu Yu Shiki is
Oh, that was good.
another comedy, and boy, was that terrible.
Oh, I liked
Really
it.
unfunny.
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
I was just sitting there stone-faced the whole time.
It was very slow. It was almost painfully slow. But there's just things about it that cracked me up, and I don't know why, but it was something I'll keep watching.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. It's like I think you were talking about it before. It's like Yuri Yuri, but toned down. Like if
Yeah.
Yuri is like set on 12, this series is set like on 3 or 2. It's
Well, I
very
mean, like
slow.
five.
Yeah, 5 would probably be better. It's just slow and it's not as sexual as Yuri Yuri. I mean, the girls kind of do hint towards the Yuri side, but I mean Yuri's in the name, so. And it's like two girls that like the main chick, so, and she's just always swatting them off, like, no, stop, leave me alone, don't touch me. And I think the funniest part was the puns at the beginning. They had one pun that stood out for me. It was like, we were talking about mochi, and she was like, I'm gonna get mochivated. And I was like, oh my god, these puns are hilarious.
Yeah, the puns in the show are actually, I thought they were really good, but there were just parts of it that made me just laugh out loud, and I was like,
Yeah.
okay.
It almost feels like Ninja Joe for me too. I mean, even the character designs are very Ninja Joe like. So I'll probably end up probably watching this.
So that's probably the difference between me and you guys. With the motivated, I went, oh, look, you guys made a pun. And then there's that one scene where the girl's, I'm falling, and then she falls on a wall, and I just went, Jesus Christ.
She hit the wall. Yeah. And then the computer lab, they're doing like something about the sun and everything, which is okay. I guess see what someone would drop this.
Yeah, I don't blame you for dropping it if it's not your thing.
Yeah. Samurai Bride is the next show and probably the final show here.
Hottest show ever. I'm just kidding. No, not really.
Yeah.
The Maid Cafe was like, what the hell? What's going on?
The Maid Cafe was a bit of a surprise. I think that was probably a 10-minute joke they dragged out to 25 there. Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of how long that went on, especially the spell they cast on the Omurice. Mm-hmm. Like, do we really need 2 minutes of this? Come on, guys.
I know, right? But and then the bad guys started doing it. I was like, what the hell?
But other than that, I'm glad the show's back. I really like the Hyakka Rōran look. And really like the first season. The first season was a show that the episodes just went like that. Like, I'm like, the show's over. It shows like the end card, and I'm like, what? Show's over already? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this first episode wasn't quite like that. Hopefully, mm-hmm. they'll get back to more of that with the action and stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. You can watch it censored and uncensored.
Yeah, uncensored. ATX is airing uncensored, surprisingly.
That is surprising.
Yeah. But
it's like, where's the bath episode? Come on. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's actually this week.
Oh, there you go.
So look for MetaFep for a nice GIF that I'm going to put in Highways post. but yeah, I love when Samurai Girls is more of the epic action. I like when it, like, the way season one starts was the coolest that Samurai Girls has ever been. And then they went to the high school stuff. And then you have the stuff with Yagyu Jisen at the end. That was epic too. So I hope they do get back to that. And also with the comedy, that was pretty good in season one.
Yeah, the season two, the thing I liked about it was that these bad guys show up and just kick everyone's asses. I'm like, finally, thank you. They can know they're not the best fighters ever. Now they can get owned for a couple episodes at least.
And the remaining shows from the season that neither of us have watched is Yandamasu Azazel-san Z season 2 and Utapri 2000% Utanope Prince Sama.
I know Kyokai loves the first one. Mm-hmm. I think she said it was very funny for her. Mm-hmm. 2000% Prince, I think, just got posted today, actually.
Yeah, it
episode
did.
One on who's reviewing it.
And then, of course, Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat is the only one that we haven't seen yet because it hasn't been released yet.
Yep, and Min would be doing that for MetaFap with Highway and.
Oh yeah.
Highway and Friends, so
we'll get a third show in there, and Highway won't be alone in his his fabness chair. Yeah, it'll be a weird. Yeah, that'll be weird. I don't want to continue that sentence.
Yeah,
Anaga might freak out. It's gonna make more writing for her to do.
Yeah. So, overall thoughts on the spring season? I thought this is looking like a good season. I'm sort of looking through the list that I have. I have nine new shows from this season, and that's a lot more than I thought I would.
Oh yeah, same here. For me, it's all about Railgun, the robots, and a little bit of harem stuff on the side. That's what I'm enjoying so far of this season. Sorry.
I'm at about 20 shows for this season.
I'm probably there too, roughly. Yeah. Maybe.
And I'm enjoying it so far. I'm feeling a little discombobulated, especially being new right in for Metanorn. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting used to it. It takes a while to get used to when stuff is released and when I can watch it, because I got other stuff going on during the week.
Yeah.
So you fall into it takes a couple weeks to fall into a schedule.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and this season with Noinamida being taken by Katanagatari reruns, there's not that many shows on first day that come out, but there's a lot on Friday. Fridays and Saturdays seem like a big day. And even Gargantua, which comes out on a Sunday. So, yep. Again, another season where everything's jam-packed into a free-day period.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was I thought that was bad last season, where Mondays was basically Sakura-so.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing on Mondays.
Yeah, it's Monday like night Monday. Used to be for me like Gintama, because it was like Gintama Mondays for comedy.
Yeah, but it's like Monday's got nothing, Tuesday's got nothing. Now Wednesday has Red Data Girl, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And also Dansai Bunri is coming out on Wednesdays. But yeah, it really stacks up on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be. You know, we know Attack on Titan is going to be good. We're pretty sure Gargantua's going to be good. I think Akuhinohana throughout the season, that's the one I'm going to be most interested in to see where people fall on that by the end, because it is the most controversial series of the season. And I noticed that there's a lot of single core shows here. There aren't that many. Usually spring has a lot of two core shows, and Attack on Titan is, Majestic Prince is. We suspect that Railgun is going to be, maybe Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat will be. But if you look at the summer season, you know, I know we're only one or two episodes into spring, but if you look at the summer season, there's also a lot of shows that are going to be debuting, and a lot of good ones, such as Silver Spoon from the same author that did the Full Metal Alchemist manga, Monogatari Season 2, High School DxD Season 2, and a lot more.
Yep, there's a list already out, like a short list.
Yep.
I think Crunchyroll has one on there, or I saw it somewhere online, just type in, you know, summer 2013, you'll find it.
All right, and that's been our early round of spring impressions. Thanks, Fosh. Thanks, Highway.
Thank you. It's fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And we'll try and do this podcast every 2 weeks. We'll try to get back on a regular schedule. I'll probably ditch the old format that I planned. I think it's just going to be just me and Fosh and a guest. So we'll have some other people from Metanorn joining us for discussions, in addition to bloggers. And Fosh will still be doing his Meta Ask segment.
Yep, I'll still do those. Be fun.
All right, so for Fosh and Highway, I'm J-Ro, and we'll see you next time. It just seems like once in all of you.